John chapter 3. Now there's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again." Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, you'd bless this message from your scripture, touch our hearts, move us to trust you more. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I get a kick out of parents who kind of cut to the chase and say things the way they are. You know, like when kids are at a certain age, everything is a question. You know, it's like you need to clean your bedroom up. Why? It's time to eat. Why? Whatever it is you have to do, they got a question. Why? And I thought that period in life was kind of interesting because there was no end to the questions. And it's amazing that at a young age they can stump parents pretty easily, huh? And but sometimes parents get weary and they understand that the why questions are just questions that are asked to really get away from actually having to do things. You know, like mom and dad says, it's time to clean your room up. And they're like, why? And you know, whatever answer you give, they're going to come up with another answer, which will lead to another question. You know, the bottom line is they are doing the stall tactic on you because they don't want to clean the room up. I remember one time my mother told me I had to clean my room up before I had to do something. And I just had a stroke of insight. In order to clean it up the way that it would be acceptable would take me quite a bit of time, and I had something that I wanted to do. So I kind of had an idea. I thought, what if I got a blanket out of the hall closet, and I kind of heaped the stuff in the edge of my closet and kind of neatly put the blanket over the whole thing, and then kind of stuffed other things under my bed. So that's what I did, straightened up the bed a little bit, cleaned off my desk. Mom, can I go now? You've cleaned everything up? Oh, yes, I have. She comes in the room, takes a look. She goes, I have a feeling that if I would pull back that blanket, I would see a big pile of junk. Now, wouldn't I? Of which I didn't say anything. And she goes, nope, this is unacceptable. You got to do it, and you got to do it right. No! And kind of in a similar way, I have thought for the longest time, Jesus' interaction with Nicodemus was one of these things that, you know, Nicodemus came up to ask a question and Jesus didn't feel like waiting, talking 5 minutes of the conversation to finally get to the main point. He just heard Nicodemus' sentence and says, you got to be born again. You know, Nicodemus could have asked anything, you know, like, what time is it? You need to be born again. What's heaven like? You got to be born again. What's for lunch? You got to be born again. And I honestly never saw the connection between the two. In fact, let me just look at it one more time here. Tell you a little bit about Nicodemus. And Nicodemus comes up and says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God were not with him. The natural thing that I would have always expected would be for Jesus to say, yes, I am a rabbi. Nice to meet you. And yes, I have been sent from God, and thank you for recognizing that these miracles must be from God. But that's not what you get. Jesus, apparently, it doesn't seem like he's in any way responding to what Nicodemus actually said. It seems like that Jesus is just saying, you must be born again. But I'm telling you, that's the reason I'm sharing it with you this morning. I think Jesus is cutting right to the core of what Nicodemus is asking about. Nicodemus recognized that Jesus was no ordinary guy. Now, there are people that are great speakers. There are people that can kind of speak wisdom in a way that is unusual. You ever heard a speaker like that or had a situation, you know, somebody comes in and they join the conversation And all of a sudden they say something, and everybody just kind of nods their head because you recognize that what they said was something wise and insightful. But there was something about what Jesus was saying that wasn't just wise and it wasn't just insightful. It was something more than they were hearing from the greatest religious teachers of the time. Jesus was preaching with something that combined wisdom, insight, the power of God. And there was more to it. Jesus was doing miraculous things. Now, this wasn't just tricks for the crowd. You know, they have this, I can't even remember what his name is. Maybe some of you know who it is, a guy on you see on TV, the street magician, you know, gathers all the people around and, you know, he does unusual things and everybody's like, no! And they arrange the cameras so all of us at home watching it on TV are going, no, how'd he do that? Well, the person is just an expert trickster. They're very good at it. And probably spends full-time hours working every week developing their ability to do that. Jesus was not an expert trickster. There were no mirrors. There was no smoke. You could be standing behind him, beside him. You could watch from every angle, and some of the things he was doing, the people left and they did not say, what a great trick. Nobody asked. Nobody concluded that he could possibly be a magician. They saw that what he did and they had a name for it. And for those of us who've been reading this scripture over and over again, you may be accustomed to what it says. And so you're missing this point. Nicodemus didn't look and say, it's amazing these tricks you did. He referred to them as signs. This religious man who had been around a lot of wise, learned people saw in Jesus somebody that was greater than anything he'd ever seen before. That he was saying something that was more than just wise, insightful things. He recognized it was from God. And then he saw the things that he was doing, and he's like, this is not anything from any man. This is a sign. Now, when you think about a sign, I want you to kind of go back with me in the Old Testament. And remember when God sent Moses to go to the Hebrew people. And even though he had been living in exile for 40 years, God's plan was that this man who had been in exile for 40 years was now going to go and was going to lead the people. But I'm sorry that he had been gone so long that probably nobody even knew who he was anymore. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, I think about myself. I'm 53. So let's go back 40 years. 13. Was there anybody who was popular when I was like 13 that nobody knows anymore? Captain Kangaroo. There we go. Everybody who's my age or not, you know who I'm talking about. Let's just take Captain Kangaroo pops in today with Mr. Green Jeans and Bunny Rabbit and Mr. Moose. All the kids are like, who in the world is he talking about? And I laugh as the ping pong balls fall on your head. But he's been gone. Everybody's going to be like, we don't even know who you are. My grandfather tells me about you. Who are you? Where have you been? And Moses, he's been gone. And now he's supposed to convince the people that they're supposed to listen to him? Moses is like, how in the world? They're not going to listen to me. They're going to say, we don't know who you are. We're not listening to you. And the Lord says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take your staff. And Moses is like, okay, this one right here. He goes, yes, throw it down. And he throws it down, and the thing somehow turns into a snake. Now, I don't know anything about Moses and his relationship to snakes. Most people don't like snakes. I don't know how he responded. I know how I would respond, because I believe that this was if this was a snake from God, I think it's going to be impressive, you know? And then God says, reach down and take it by, pick it up. There's another act of faith. He reached down and he grabbed it. And boom, in his hands, it turned into a staff again. He's like, this is unbelievable. Then he says, take your hand and put it in your cloak. Which hand, right or left? Doesn't matter. Just take it. Put it in your cloak. Puts it in the cloak. Comes out, terrible, horrible skin disease. Leprosy. Now, you can just imagine you're looking at your own hand. I would be wondering if it was going to spread up my arm. I mean, your mind's going to be going 100 miles an hour. And he goes, stick it back in your cloak. And it's like, you don't want to stick it back in your cloak because you don't want to touch this part of your body. I mean, have any of you ever been into poison ivy before? You know how it is. You get these blister things on it, and you're like, what's your fear? It isn't the truth, but what is your fear? Your fear is that if those blister things pop, it will spread. You know, so it's like, open the cloak up. What do you got? Your bare chest. You really want to stick it in here? Another act of faith. He sticks it in, pulls it back out. Guess what? Hands all clear. Now, those were two of the things that the Lord gave him to do that were signs so that the people would say, okay, we're going to listen to you. You know, maybe you are from God. Signs. All right, let's get back to Nicodemus. So Nicodemus is recognizing that Jesus is obviously from God. The things he's doing and the things he's saying are a sign from God. And so Nicodemus, in a very real sense, he's not just wanting to interview Jesus. He's kind of wanting to know all the details. It's like, who are you? How did you get here? What do you want? You know, it's just, you can just imagine, he probably has just a big, long list of questions to ask Jesus. And Jesus recognizes that what he really wants is Nicodemus wants to see the kingdom of God. And he wants to know those things. And Jesus cuts to the chase and he says, the only way you can see the kingdom of God is to be born again. And truly, the only way to really see the kingdom of God is through redeemed eyes. The all-in folks, the folks who've taken that leap of faith, they come to know and they come to understand things that you can't know from the outside. Let me give you a little illustration of this. I was talking to my juniors and seniors in a Bible class this week, and I know, because it's just a reality of being a pastor these days, that young people are being told that you should never get married unless you live together first. That is the conventional wisdom these days. The truth is that there's a huge difference between living together and being married. And folks who think that you can live together and you know what it would be like to be married to that other person, you don't know, because it's a different thing. I'm blessed. I've been married for 30 years to Tammy. And I was thinking last week, I was thinking, you know, there are so many things about Tammy that only I know. So many details about her. And the only reason that I know those things, and I know all about her, is because I've been all in and she's been all in. When we got married, we got wise counsel. So when we got married, we realized that all of our past and all of our future, we're kind of bringing it, and all of our secrets and all of our money, which we didn't have any at that point, and all of our hopes and our bodies. And all of our trust and our companionship and all of our kindness and all of our fidelity. We just kind of, all of us is in. So I gave all of me and she gave all of her. And we became one. And it was part of us becoming one. I'm enjoying watching the wonderful transition that's happening in the life of my daughter and my son-in-law. My daughter has been married now. How long have you guys been married? 6 months? 5 months? 5 months? I'll tell you what. My daughter's not the same girl she was 5 months ago. She's changed. She's starting to talk like Chris Camp. Oh! And her last name is changed. And her routines are changing. And it's coming out in her humor. It's coming out in how she arranges her life. But I'll tell you what. Her husband, I've known him since he was a little boy. And he's not the same. Jenny has rubbed off on him.